Many of you know this, what's been happening in Wales lately, and we got very, very jealous of what God's doing, and we're earnestly seeking God to do a Brighton thing, not a Qumran thing, but a Brighton thing. He knows our needs. He knows how desperate we are, although we're not always aware of how desperate we really are and should be for him. And so what's it going to take? And it takes an earnest seeking of God, like you were saying, Dave, you know, a desperate hunger for him, a desire for him, a crying out to him, and then his grace visiting us, because that's what revival is, the grace of God coming down and drawing people to himself. And for a long time, Dave has been encouraging me to take time out and just to be alone with God. And this is something that the elders have been encouraged to do. But I've been too busy. But I thought, no, this is the time to really seek God. So I decided to go and do just that, taking a day out and just simply spend time with God. And this is a passage that God drew me to. I've already shared some of it with the elders. It's John chapter 14. I think it's got some foundations that will prepare us for God's outpouring. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples and through his word speaking to us. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. How wonderful. You will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make a home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I've spoken to you while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I'm going away, and I'm coming back to you. If you love me, you'd be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father, and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave." Let me just pray. Lord, thank you for your promise. Lord, we long for your promise to be realized in our lives, Lord. And we know it is not because you want to withhold your promise, but somehow, Lord, we've blocked the way. Lord, forgive us. Help us, Lord, to know how to open the way again, that you may come in your sovereignty, and in your power, in your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I said I read these words recently, and as I read them, they were personal to me. This is where I was. I think it was a Sunday night before here, I remember saying, my prayer was that I want nothing for myself, but I want everything God has for me, so I can do whatever he wants me to do. And that was the desire of my heart. I went to a place I knew, I've met with God before, a place where I received the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and it's because of a time of utter need and utter powerlessness and confirmation that God wanted to use me somehow in his service. So my call was in Ashburnham Place in East Sussex. It was a place we went to annually for a Christian conference, an Arab Christian conference. And it was there in 1985 that I got my call. It was there that God confirmed it by just liberating me, by touching me by his Holy Spirit. And so whenever I think I need to be at a place to meet with God, I think of Ashburnham Place. God's not limited to Ashburnham Place. But I felt I must go. It took longer than I thought, actually, to get there. But it was worth it. I just wanted to be alone with God, just experience something of his presence and learn something of what he has in mind. And he spoke in all kinds of ways, you know, through nature as we've been praying, through the beauty of the place, and little things that happen. I thought, that's just God saying something. But a very special place that I go to is a chapel in the grounds. And there, there's a presence of God that every time I walked in, I felt. I thought, I want to go there. And so I walked in, and it was just the same as I expected it to be. But rather than start praying, I was just quiet and opened my hand, stood there, and just walked the length of the chapel, knelt down at the end, and then felt, I can get up now. And I looked to my side, and there was a lectern with a Bible open. And it was these verses. And I decided to read them aloud to myself. Can you imagine just... And I was hearing them as I was reading them and receiving them. And how gracious God is that he wants to send the Holy Spirit. He longs to send his Holy Spirit to us. And so... as I read them, so I knew this was for me, but I trust it's for us as well. So if you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. And I thought, well, that's it, really. If I truly love the Lord, I would have no problem in obeying him. Because obedience is really doing what pleases the person that asks you to do it. And if you love them, if you're in love with someone, you long to do what pleases them. You're proactive in finding out what it is that pleases them and then do it. And it pleases you as you do it, because you know where it's going. You know who's benefiting by it. Your loved one. And so obedience is the best expression of love towards God. And as a nation, we have not loved God. And that's why we don't obey his commands. And that's why we're in a mess. But someone has to start loving God. It's got to be us. And expressing that love in obedience. If we truly want the presence and power of the Holy Spirit among us, we need to rebuild the foundations of love and obedience. There was once a song entitled, What's Love Got to Do with It? It's got everything to do with it. Do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Remember who he asked of those questions? That's all he asked. Do you love me? That's what qualifies you to serve me. You know, there was a time when, certainly in my early Christian experience, when people didn't say, "Do you believe in Jesus?" They simply said, "Do you love the Lord?" We don't say that anymore. Because we've made the faith a sort of elements of belief rather than a living, loving relationship. We talk about a love relationship with God to others. We say this is what Christianity is. And I want to move from doing Christianity to living it. You know, where love is the basis of my relationship. Why is it so hard to live like Jesus? Because we try to live like Jesus without loving Jesus. Without drawing from his presence in our life. If we love him, we would gladly live like him. Love the things that he loves. Do the things that he does. Or he would do. Love is the foundation for obedience. Obedience is the foundation for blessing and power. What does Romans 8:28 say? And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. And Jesus emphasized this time and again in his teaching. When he taught in Luke 6 and Matthew 7 with regard to the wise and foolish builders, do you remember? He said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like, who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He's like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid a foundation on rock. When the flood came, the torrent struck and the house could not shake it. So it could not shake the house because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like the man who built his house on ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete." The rock of obedience is the bedrock of blessing. There was a dear old man who was a pioneer missionary who founded the Red Sea Mission Team, who worked along the Red Sea coast, a very, very needy, very dangerous area to work as a Christian. But he was a man who obviously loved the Lord. And he asked me once, he said, "Philip, what is the most important word in the scriptures?" And I had to scratch my head and sort of think, "I'm not really sure." "Obedience," he says. "That's the most important word in the scriptures. That's all God ever asked of Adam. That's all he ever asked of us." What does it say about the giving of the Holy Spirit? "And so is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey him." Acts 5:32. When our heart's desire is to better love and obey God, the Holy Spirit will find us irresistible. Why do we want the Holy Spirit? Is it so we feel good? Look good, as you were saying this morning? Or be God's, be in his hands, for him to do what he wants. Jesus continues, "The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." Why does Jesus first say, "for he lives with you"? Who's living with them at the time? It's Jesus himself. And so what he's really saying is that the one who has filled me, the one who inhabits me, is the one who's going to inhabit you when I leave. He's coming to fill you. And what's the Holy Spirit like? He's like Jesus. It's the Spirit of Jesus. So whatever Jesus did when he was on earth, the Holy Spirit wants to do now in you and me. And what did Jesus do? He loved and obeyed the Father. And he proclaimed the kingdom. And he healed the sick. And guess what he wants us to do? Similar thing. In fact, Jesus endorsed that was the work of the Holy Spirit, didn't he? When he was in the temple and he stood up and said, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from the darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. For this will be called, they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor." It is they that will rebuild the ancient ruins that have the sovereign Lord visit them by his Spirit. And they will rebuild ancient ruins, restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. They will be the answer to the generation around them. And we are the answer to the generation around us. God wants to use us. And the reason the Holy Spirit will come is because we want to see him do it. Restore this generation. Restore this nation of ours. It's just amazing that God wants to use us. Not so that we would be those who are pointed to and look what God's doing, you know, in them. But look what God's doing here, right now. And it's not limited to any particular group of people. It's those who hunger and thirst, those who want to trust and obey, those who dare to love him in such a way. The very things that Jesus did, the proclamation of the gospel, the declaring of his sovereign authority over sickness and disease, is the very thing that God's doing in Qumran at the moment. People are hearing the gospel. Jesus is being glorified. People are being healed. Because they weren't... The irony of what's happening in Qumran is that they weren't even looking for it at the time. Some must have been. Some must have been true lovers and true seekers. But the pastor certainly wasn't. He was about to close the meeting that very night. End the midweek meeting, and the Lord visited by his Spirit. But the very things that the Holy Spirit did through Jesus, he wants to do through us today. We ask time and again, why don't we see more miracles? That's why we don't see any more miracles. Because it isn't the miracles that we should be seeking. It's the Lord. To love him. To want to obey him. To want nothing for ourselves. Then watch him do his thing amongst us. If we want an authentic visitation of the Holy Spirit, we need an authentic expression of faith. That we love him. That we believe in him. That he is the one who came to take upon himself the sin of the world. That God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. That whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the message we heard that introduced us to the love of God in Christ. And that's the message we need to want to let go of, to release. When the Holy Spirit comes, he comes to, yes, bless us. Yes, to refresh us. I was sharing a story about the well the other day. And anybody heard the story about the well? Good, I'll tell you that. essentially, so this is something that really thrilled me and is a constant prayer of mine now. Because when the Holy Spirit comes, he comes to fill us, to make us a blessing for others. He doesn't do it just for our own entertainment, you know, or feeling good, but for a purpose. And Steve Jackson told us a story of a conversation he had where the lady just shared something relating to this. She said that unlike shepherds doing most parts of the world, who often lead their sheep, in Australia, the shepherd simply digs a well to wherever he wants the sheep. He digs a well, and the sheep come. They smell the water, and they go to the well to drink. And I thought, well, that's what we need to be. If this place was a well where Jesus can be experienced, where he is Lord, where he's free to do what he wants because everybody's for him and wants what he wants, can you imagine what would happen? We don't have to go out there to do door-to-door work or what have you. The Lord will draw people to himself. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. He wants us to be wells for him. Not drains that waste everything that comes its way. Sadly, we've lived like that, haven't we? We wanted goodness, we wanted something of God, but where has it gone? It wasn't made available to others. I've lost my notes altogether now. But you're getting the message, I think. God loves us, and he wants us to love him back. And he wants us to express that love with the desire to be all that he wants us to be. He wants us to be like him, but we cannot be like him if we don't love him and want to do what he wants to do in our time, in our generation. How much does he love us? He poured out himself for us. So let's come now and prepare our hearts as we take bread and wine and an opportunity to express love back to him as well. And may the Lord lead us this week as we pray to be at that place where our desire of heart is to, in the words of Jesus, when he said that he wanted to show the world that they may learn that he's there to obey the Father. And may that be the desire of our hearts as well, that we are here to live for him and to honour him. Josh, would you lead us into a song just as we prepare? Perhaps you'd like to stand with me. Let me just pray. Lord, thank you, Lord Jesus, that your whole desire was that the world might learn that you love the Father and do everything he has commanded you. Lord, may that be the desire of our hearts too. We want the world to learn that we love you and want to do everything you've asked us to do. Thank you, Jesus.